Hey, I want to welcome everybody to another wonderful and, as I think, exciting edition of Saturday AM Live. As always, any time that I can connect with anybody out there in the Meekin family, it's going to be an exciting conversation. Not because of me, but simply because when two people get together or two or more start sharing ideas, especially connected with this incredible company, things are going to be exciting. So on that note, welcome again. Welcome Jim Walker to the call. And Jim, where do you reside currently? Just get a
Shelley, Idaho.
Okay, which is near where?
It's near Idaho Falls, Idaho.
Okay, so eastern part of Idaho.
Eastern.
For, for those of us who want to get an idea on geography here. And take us back, because a year ago, you'd never even heard of Meekin, had you?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so what were you doing at the time 12 months ago?
I was a law enforcement student at Pocatello, Idaho.
Okay, with the intention of becoming state trooper, detective, what was the kind of the plan?
Whoever hired me, actually. I wanted to be a county cop, actually.
Okay.
So I was hoping one of the counties close by would hire me.
Okay, and just taking a wild guess here, this is probably not your first occupation in life?
No, it wasn't, no.
Okay. So a little bit of your background.
I was a truck driver before I started the law enforcement and ex-military, Army.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that service right up front here for the rest of us. And what made you decide you wanted a career change?
Economy was slowing down. My boss had two trucks. He had his truck and my truck. And said things were getting slow. He said he wasn't sure if he was going to have enough loads to keep himself busy, let alone two trucks.
Mm.
And he and I had already previously talked about things, and the things got slow. I told him I could always go back to school with the help of the vets, and that's what I chose to do, was go back to school.
Okay. So last December, you're in school, you're doing a training exercise, if I remember reading your story correctly, and something happened that kind of changed your life forever. So tell us about that.
Just briefly before that happened, in November, right around Thanksgiving time, when I was in the law enforcement program, we had the head sergeant from Bannock County Jail, which is in Pocatello, come and ask for volunteers for his riot that he puts on every year so that his officers were current in their training and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I volunteered.
Okay.
And the exercise took place on December 19th.
Okay. And now, when you say a, basically this is a mock, you use the word riot, so this is pretty much chaos?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And we went into the cell block, the bad guys, me, and I think altogether there was around 10 of us, I think. And we were supposed to situate ourselves somewhere in the cell block and try and wreak havoc on the officers.
Mm-hmm.
And try and make it as real life as we could.
Okay.
With our restraining and fighting. And the first thing that the officers did was they induced pepper balls. They shot pepper balls into the cell block.
Okay.
And when they did that, we sat there for a while. I don't know how long it was. It was minutes while the pepper ball or the pepper took effect on everybody.
And for those of us who are not familiar with what those do to the body, what were you going through at that point?
They use those so that it incapacitates.
child.
Exactly, yeah. You're coughing and sneezing and trying to get away from that. And that's what was going on. I was coughing and sneezing, and then all of a sudden this dizzy, nauseous feeling come over me, and I asked the sergeant if I could step out of the room and recompose myself. I said, I ain't afraid to do your riot. Just let me compose myself, and I'll come back in. And he's like, it's too late. We can't leave. You can sit down if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
He says, we still got a few minutes before they come in. I was like, okay. Well, I went down to my hands and knees, and the second my knees hit the floor, it was like an elephant was on my back and was pushing me the rest of the way to the floor, and I couldn't move.
Hmm.
And found out that the reason I couldn't move was during one of the coughing and sneezing attacks. I was turned, looking over my shoulder, is the way my doctors think that it happened, and I tore my carotid artery. I tore my vertebral arteries in the back of my neck,
mm-hmm.
and on both the left and right side, and I ended up having a stroke, and that's why I felt the nauseous and dizzy feeling.
Okay.
And there you go. They went and put me in a cell, told me I had to sit here until the riot was over. And when the riot got over, they came in and asked what I was doing and what I was feeling, and asked if I was diabetic and if I ever had a problem with hypo or hyperglycemia.
Mm-hmm.
Told them no, and the head sergeant looks at his sergeant in charge of the guards and says, we need to get him up front. He's having a stroke. And the rest is history. No,
and it's interesting because initially several of them thought you're dealing with a blood sugar issue, and then yet one of them recognized the signs of a stroke, which is not all that common for most people out there to know the difference. I mean, you had to have some type of experience in medical. Well, so at that point, recognizing you're experiencing a stroke. They rush you off to the hospital?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
They done countless tests, and then the next thing I know, I'm in Utah, Salt Lake City. They life flighted me up there to University of Utah. Kept me on their stroke watch for 4 days, I think it was, because of the location of where the tears and everything were. I wasn't supposed to survive any of them, let alone all three. So, and came home, and I couldn't talk. I mean, I had slurred speech. You had to really listen to understand what I was saying, and couldn't walk very good. Slow, 10 feet probably is about all I could walk, and I'd have to sit down. I'd be totally out of breath, have to regain my composure so I could continue walking again. Let's see. Had facial paralysis across my face,
mm-hmm.
and down on my head, around my head, and down the left side. Whenever I talked, my top lip would always try and curl its way up my nose. Just overall it bad health. I mean, I couldn't breathe very good. My attention span was nothing. If I sat still for 10 seconds and if somebody wasn't talking, I was doing my own thing. And my wife, what's that?
Hey, Jim, and I didn't even ask, and at this time, this is not like you're in your 60, 70, 80 year stage of life. You are.
No. I was 39.
Okay.
I had just turned 40 in February, so I was 39 the day of the stroke.
Okay.
And on my 40th birthday, that's when, well, just after, about 2 weeks after, I had another mini stroke.
Okay.
In March.
So you're going into your, basically entering into your 40s, having two strokes in your belt, which is not common, I mean, in any culture, in any, you know. However, the situation brought this about. And going through, you know, rewinding back prior to Nikan entering the picture, you're going through the conventional treatment for, you know, post-treatment for a stroke victim, which includes, were you doing physical therapy at the time, or was that as much of the big issue, or was it the other effects that you were dealing with mostly?
It was the other effects. They wanted me well enough to do physical therapy.
Okay.
I didn't start physical therapy until, let's see, last month in August.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking a good 8 months later before you even start the physical therapy.
Right. They wanted to make sure, they wanted to give the blood clot. I had a blood clot about 3 inches that was from my C3 in my spine up to my brainstem.
Hmm.
And they wanted to make sure they gave that plenty of time to fibrose, what they call fibrose. And it, they said it turns to similar to what scar tissue is.
Okay.
That way my body will break it down, and I'm not going to take a chance on moving any big pieces that's going to cause any more problems.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in no rush for me to start that physical therapy or anything.
Sure, makes sense. So 2 months ago, was it July, correct?
Yes.
You get a phone call.
Yes, I had a fellow comrade, Dane Shively, came over, well, called me, and asked if he could bring over some products. He says, I know you had the stroke, and I just want to see if they'll help. If they don't help, you ain't out anything, and if they do help, then good for you. And I said, yeah, cool, come on over. And he introduced me to the Nikan products. He first showed me the insoles, and had me do a balance test, and my balance was very bad. My head was full of pressure constantly, and so anytime I wanted to bend over to put shoes on or anything like that, I had to be sitting down. If I thought of bending over while I was standing up, then I was falling to the ground.
Your balance was shot, literally.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. My head was like a lawn dart. It was the heavy end, and it was going to the ground. And he had me stand up and show him how bad my balance was.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted me to try and stand on one leg, and there was no way I could do that. Everything he asked me, I tried. He wanted me to bend backwards as far back as I could, and I couldn't even stand up straight before I was falling backward. I hadn't even started to lean back, just trying to stand up straight.
Okay.
And let's see, what was one of the other ones? Oh, and the bending over straight. He wanted me to bend over straight to see how far I could bend over. And like I said, the second I started to bend over, the second my shoulders went past my body forward, I was looking for something to grab a hold to, so I was on the way to the ground.
Okay.
And then he asked,
which is typical for, I mean, there's not just people who've experienced a stroke, but for people who've experienced any life-altering episode, like you know, whether it's a heart attack, stroke, I mean, the list goes on. And what's interesting to me is that here you are, eight months later. To maybe continuing, but hadn't started the physical therapy, but nothing's changing, I mean, at all, in your opinion. I mean, you're still in the same, I mean, maybe a little bit better, but it's still...
I was pretty much as good as I was going to get in July from what my doctors were telling me.
Okay, so...
That was from their mouth.
Okay, so he puts you on the insoles, I'm guessing?
Yep, he had me stand on the mag steps, and he says, I want you to try those. Just stand on them.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. And I don't know what was more exciting when I did that, the look on my wife's face or the fact that I was standing up straight for the first time since the stroke and I was talking without slurring.
I mean, that quickly?
That quickly. I'd say within 30 seconds, probably.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And your friend, the look on his face, too, is probably a little bit shocked?
Yeah, well, he wasn't sure he heard me right, so he was asking my wife, is he answering my questions without slurring? I don't hear him slurring no more. She's like, no, you're right. He's not slurring. And yeah, they were both pretty shocked.
Okay.
He's sitting up straight now. He's standing straight up.
like you're not there in the room talking about you.
Yeah. So he went through those same tests when I was on those back steps. And yeah, it was crazy. I bent over for the first time and touched my toes.
Mm-hmm.
Leaned back. If I leaned back anymore, I'd have fell back because I couldn't go back anymore without falling.
Okay. So you get on the insoles, and within 30 seconds, you're experiencing literally, not to exaggerate here, but a complete life change.
Yes, I did.
Okay,
yes.
So what'd you do from there?
From there, he wanted me to try the PIMAG water.
Mm-hmm.
And he done the strength test with me, the finger strength test.
Mm-hmm.
That was another thing that the stroke took from me was strength. I mean, I could have had a 2-year-old kid beat my butt if he wanted to. You know, that's how weak I was. And he had me take my ring finger and thumb and put them together and squeeze as hard as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told my wife to come over and separate the two fingers. And they didn't even try. She walked over and just barely pulled and separated both my thumb and finger.
Sure.
And then he told me to take a drink of that PIMAG water. And I did. And he said, okay, now I want you to do the same thing. And I don't want you to let your wife separate them. Okay. I wasn't last time. And he says, okay, Debbie, go ahead and try it. And she did. She couldn't do it. She pulled as hard as she could and couldn't separate them. So.
Mm-hmm.
And so he let me use the sleep system. He showed me what the sleep system was.
Uh-huh.
Gave my wife a rollout only because he wasn't worried, or he was a little worried about me getting down onto the floor.
Sure, sure.
And so he had my wife get down on the floor and do a rollout on her. She didn't want him to stop, obviously. He wanted me to sleep on the sleep system for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And borrow his water system.
Mm-hmm.
And the mag steps. I said, okay, fine. And while I was on the sleep system, the mag water, or the PIMAG water, and the mag steps, I had no pressure in my head, none. It was totally, absolutely gone. And the other symptoms of my stroke appeared to be gone.
Okay.
I couldn't feel any or see any.
The pressure on the head, in your head, is similar to like a migraine or just, or, I mean.
The way I explain it best is, feels like you have a hat on all the time. And it's tight. It's like one size too small.
Okay.
And then hopefully you don't get the headache. But usually when that pressure in your head gets tighter than one size small,
mm-hmm.
if it gets any tighter than that, then the headache would come.
Okay.
But I always constantly had that pressure. As long as I had that pressure, I knew I was okay. When it got any tighter, then I was like, oh, man, And this is a bad day.
When I get to that point, dude, I mean, would conventional drugs, whether it was Advil or Tylenol, or was that part of the routine?
Yes, it was, and nothing helped.
Okay.
Even the stuff the doctor prescribed me, I couldn't get rid of the headache at all.
Okay. So this is all a couple months ago. Tell us what's happened since. I mean, with your recovery, you said you're getting ready to start physical therapy.
Actually, I've been in physical therapy since August, like I said.
Oh, okay.
And I'm actually getting ready to finish. I've got three more appointments, and from what they say, from what my physical therapist says, I've improved 200%. So, from my first day going in there to.
And obviously your speech is not slurred. We've been conversing now for 25 minutes, and there's no delay mentally. You're answering my questions as fast as I can fire them away at you. And as far as your balance, when you're on the infield, are you able to get around and mobile and all that?
Yeah, it's only just the close-quartered stuff that really bothers me.
Okay.
Like, if you're walking down a hallway, my physical therapist has this little booth that you stand in, and that's what it represents, is walking down a hallway, and it's got these different colors along the side.
Mm-hmm.
And, stripes and boxes right now seem to affect my balance, but other than that, that's the only thing.
Okay.
So I can live with that.
I mean,
outside-wise, I go for walks now by myself,
mm-hmm.
as long as I have my phone with me, where before I didn't leave the house without somebody.
Sure.
So
basically a prisoner in your own home.
Yes.
Okay. Now, for people that are on the call right now, Jim, what would you encourage them, because we all know somebody who's either suffered a stroke, whether recently or in the years past, who's still dealing, because I had my own grandmother, my dad's mom, who it was years later after she'd experienced a stroke before she was introduced to the Neekin products, and we saw an improvement, which was amazing, before she passed away. But for those of us who it sounds like your friend, and I forgot his name, that introduced you to the company.
Dane Shively.
It sounds like he didn't do anything differently than what we would do to any other person that we're wanting to introduce to this company.
Yeah, he saw somebody that looked like could benefit from it and showed them to me.
I mean, same energy test, same muscle resistance exercises, and away you go.
Yep.
Okay.
And I can't think of anybody. I've been asked that question a lot lately. Anybody that has any ailment, any problem, will benefit from
mm-hmm.
all these technologies that they have.
As my dad's always said over the years, that if they're breathing, they can benefit from these technologies.
Yeah, I honestly believe that.
Okay.
To go from where I was before, which was downward,
mm-hmm.
yeah, there's nothing that couldn't help.
Did they give you an estimate, time frame-wise, that what they had projected it would be for you, as far as, or did they see it as an option for a complete recovery?
My doctors didn't think, before Neekin came into my life, they didn't think I was ever going to get fully recovered, if at all. They said it may be right around 80-85%, but that wouldn't be for many years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And they were thinking 10-plus, they said.
Okay. Do you see the opportunity to continue on with the law enforcement school?
Yeah, if I have my way, yeah. But I would have to sweet-talk the doctors somehow into releasing me for that because they already told me that they didn't care if I got back at 100%. There's no way you're going to ever do that type of work again.
Okay.
Only because of the risk of the neck.
Sure. Oh, of course, of course. It's kind of a dare for you to almost show them up in a sense.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That's why I said if I had my way, then yes.
Okay. So have you had the opportunity, Jim, to share your experience with other people?
Yep, I've spoke with, let's see, Thane Shively took me to one of the guys in his up group, Maurice, I'm not sure what his last name is, took me to his house and met with a couple of NECAN people there,
mm-hmm.
and some new prospects, and told my story, and helped a few people there.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I've had two people in my stepgirls' side of the family that tried the products and
mm-hmm.
saw benefits. So,
okay.
Yeah. I've,
okay. And I didn't ask your wife, Debbie. She's working outside the home?
Not yet.
Not yet.
She's still waiting for the doctors to tell her, yes, she can.
Okay.
Because I was totally incapacitated, so they wanted her there in case
sure.
some emergency came up.
Okay, so this has completely derailed her life as well.
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you're open, Jim, we have a few minutes remaining here. If you're keen on it, I'd love to open up the line to anybody who might have a question.
Okay.
And all you got to do if you're listening live on the call right now, just simply hit *6, because I know there's a lot of questions that I've fired at Jim, but maybe maybe there's something I've missed. So again, *6 on your phone will bring you in to the conversation live. And I know there's a lot of things that come up when possibly with NECAN's products, could we do, more harm than good, when you're dealing with somebody who's recovering from a stroke? And, Jim would obviously, based on what he shared already, what have you got to lose, as Thane shared with him. And that's one of those things that we see time and time again. I was listening the other day to the beautiful compensation CD again, and absolutely loved Kay Logan's perspective when the person introduced her after having a severe car accident. And that person said to her, what have you got to lose? Absolutely nothing. And that's a lot of things that we need to, to consider. So any questions? Anybody jump on the line?
Yeah, this is Don in Beaverton.
Go ahead, Don.
Well, this has served as a big motivation for me, and I'm sure with all the other people listening. The biggest problem or caution that I would have would be to say, this product will definitely treat and fix your stroke. And so we got to be very cautious about doing that, but this has been a very, very motivating presentation. I can't thank you enough.
Thank you.
Well, and something I forgot to mention is that, we don't make any medical claims. Jim, you're obviously, from your background as being in the military, and thus you were a medic in the military, and as a truck driver, not a whole lot of medical experience under your belt, so you can't make any medical claims. I can't make any medical claims. All we know is you got on these funny insoles and drank some pretty powerful water, and it opened your eyes to a whole new world. And,
right.
And since then, you've been on the products ever since, and you're continuing to use them. I didn't even ask that. The insoles, the sleep system, the water, the components of the wellness home.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Is there one product more than the other that you literally would say turned your life around?
Hmm.
I don't know if I could pinpoint it to just one.
Okay.
If I had to pick just one, if I was forced to pick just one, it'd be the mag steps, obviously.
Okay. The insoles, sure.
Yes.
Okay. Which I appreciate. I really do appreciate the way you answered that, because those of us who have been on the Nikan products for a while, it really is hard to narrow it down, because we're experiencing wellness in so many different areas that when we want to get someone introduced to the wellness home, that's really the end goal. It's not to sell a bunch of products. It has nothing to do with it. I mean, that's part of the business. However, the real goal is to allow people, because of the environments we are in, with all the negative things that surround our bodies, we have to curb that. We want to change that. And with the wellness home, with the water, with the air, with the sleep system, with the insoles, all the far infrared products we can utilize, the nutritional products, the skincare, it changes everything dramatically.
Yes.
You know, it's the beauty about it. So, well, thank you, Don, for that reminder that, you know, we can't make any medical claims. That just because Jim Walker has had a completely life-altering or come-back-to-life experience with these products doesn't mean that every stroke victim out there is going to experience the same. You know. So any other questions? It sounds like we might have someone else on the line. Maybe not. Okay. Well, Jim, last question, and I'll let you go. I'm curious.
Can you hear me?
There we go. Go ahead.
This is Vince from Arkansas. I'm a physical therapist, but I'm not making any medical claims either. I have a question for you. Have you noticed, because this is from my point of view and when I'm dealing with folks with our technologies, have you noticed that there are some times when you're not doing as well on a particular day?
Yes, I've noticed I've stayed up a little too late the day before and I'm a little on the tired, sluggish side. Things are a little harder for me.
Would you like to know how to avoid that?
Sleep, I guess. Go to bed when I should instead of trying to stay up.
So you got to start a new habit. And again, I'm not making any demands. I'm just making suggestions. Since you're trying to bring your life back, if you'll set a timer for 5 minutes and listen to the timer, then you'll never overdo it again. But it's kind of hard to stop. See, currently you don't know your activity tolerance, and so you're like most of us, and we go until our gas tank is empty, and of course you're looking for the pump then. If you never take yourself to your completely deleted, then you'll have an amazing, amazing recovery with these technologies.
So then what you're saying is just take literally a five-minute breather?
No. Stop after 5 minutes. I don't care how long you stop. Set your timer for 5 minutes. You've only got 5 minutes of activity. It doesn't matter how long your stop is, but if you're going until your body tells you to stop, it's like when you're feeling thirsty, you're already about 60% dehydrated. You know, anything you can think of, when you wait till your body is telling you need to stop, you've generally already gone too far.
Sure. Okay.
So to me, it's like, but if you stop regularly, then you never have to completely deplete your body of all of its energy.
Okay.
And I'll share this with you real briefly, and you can quote me on this. There is no gain without pain. We've all heard that. There's also no gain with strain. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. That's true. But if you overuse it, you're going to lose it too. Our technologies will bring you back better, faster than anything else out there. But why keep pushing yourself to the limit? Otherwise, you may not ever come back from going that far. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
It's a great thing.
I'm just sharing that in general terms, and it works really well with the people that I see on a regular basis. And
Jim, Vince, you've been a physical therapist for a few years now, right?
Oh, about 26 years, you know.
Okay. So speaking from experience,
powerful
reminder that, you know, we can't, you know, the physical body does have its limitations. We can only push it so far, even with these great, great products. Appreciate that. Well, great. Well, thank you again, Vince and Don as well for the great questions and the great reminders. The, you know, the one thing that I'd want to finish with, Jim, to ask you is that, do you ever think that you'd be able to repay the gift that's been given you?
No.
No. So
it's unpayable.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see Thane, I thank him for coming over to the house and showing me.
Okay.
You can't. I mean, to not have your life just the day before he shows up to having it again. I mean, there's nothing a person can say or do.
Which is, it kind of compels you to, you know, the moral obligation to, you know, share the gift with other people as well, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I kind of knew the answer to that question before I asked it, but I had to throw it out there. So I appreciate that. I really, really do. And, you know, the beauty is you've got a journey ahead of you to continue to get back to the normal, or, you know, as we define normal, you know, for a human being. And the beautiful thing is that you have these products to, you know, allow you to do that. And, so we'll be praying for you and pulling for you on our end for sure. And Jim Walker has been our guest on the call from Eastern Idaho. And it's not every day that you can literally, you know, be going down life's path and sneeze and cough the wrong way and experience what he's gone through. And fortunately for Nika now, life is completely changed and on the right path to getting back to where he wants to be. So, Jim, thank you for being on the call. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome very much. And, thanks for having me.
And as I put out in the email when this week, Jim has so graciously typed up his entire story. And if you don't have that, if you're listening to this right now and don't have a copy of that, please contact myself and I'd be happy to get that to you. Easiest way to get a hold of me, pick up the phone, or you can email me, and I'll just fire it right back to you at vsrogers995@aol.com. That's vsrogers995@aol.com, and I'd be happy to get that to you. And or call me at area code 503-695-5683. So,
and I'll put it on the website, too.
Okay, fantastic. It, and that's Steve Crowfoot. It will be on the SaturdayAMLive.com, Jim's typed-up version of his story. It's a couple pages long, and but it chronologically, you know, it explains exactly what's taken place over the last 9 months of Jim's life. So it'll be there. So, again, and that's another reminder, if you have somebody that you know would benefit from hearing Jim's story, send them to www.saturdayamlive.com. And this call, the recording of this call, will be up and available to listen. So thank you so much. Have a fantastic day. And for everybody else, you guys as well, have a great weekend. And look forward to chatting with you next Saturday morning, and if not sooner.